Take the grand tour, grand tour. Take the grand tour, grand tour. GT. Step into the grand tour.
Grand tour, grand tour.
Step into the grand tour.
Dragon Ball GT.
Step into the grand tour.
Grand tour, grand tour.
Hello friends, welcome back to Destructo Discourse, a good time. This is a Dragon Ball Z, just kidding, it's a Dragon Ball GT rewatch podcast.
Oh, you got my hopes up for a second.
Yeah, fooled ya. I am your host, Jason, your Virgil on this trip through anime hell, and joining me on this week is Dave.
God, that's such an on-point description of how this goes, this podcast.
And Melissa.
You can't tease me about where I am right now.
And Theo?
I live in anime hell.
And Tyler?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, how's it going?
I mean, as a bro team pill watcher, I'm familiar with the concept of anime heaven. I don't really know anything about anime hell.
Oh, you're going to learn pretty soon.
Oh, that's a terrifying statement, honestly.
There's a lot of fire. There's lava.
We've already met Deborah, so... Mm-hmm. Oh boy.
Well, he's in heaven.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Where he belongs.
He's doing fine.
Well, I like that you said that, but you said it in such a dismissive way. Like a, yeah, where he belongs, asshole.
Y'all ready to finish the baby saga? Because, oh shit, it's ending tonight.
Yeah, what's happening on this week's story arc?
I legitimately couldn't tell, like, in these episodes. I was like, is this the end of the arc? I don't know.
Is it, how much more of this are we doing?
Who knows? Probably not the writers.
It was a sudden and confusing conclusion.
Yep.
Yeah. But not for reasons I would have expected?
Right.
It's a lot.
We are, of course, this week we are covering episodes 38, 39, and 40 of extant anime Dragon Ball GT. But before we get into it, I have a question for you. Say, for instance, you needed to suddenly go on a road trip very far away, but you'd be transported there instantly by a man...
Transmitted,
some might say. What would you bring with you? What's in your planetary go bag?
How many layers of clothes am I allowed to wear?
Enough.
Ooh, good question.
Space is cold.
You could probably like double or triple it up for hiking purposes.
So that way I've got some changes of clothes, but I can also bring like a notebook and a pen.
Oh, that made me realize I would bring a sketchbook and then just not touch it at
all. Oh, no! Yeah, me too.
Oh,
fuck.
Just look at it the whole time.
I just look at it and I just look at it and then look at the bizarre, beautiful, strange alien world that I found myself on and go, man, this would go really good in my hourlies. But there's no Wi-Fi here, so I can't flex on my data Twitter.
Perhaps too real.
Ooh, yeah, Wi-Fi is a question here. I will say, for the sake of argument, there's probably no Wi-Fi.
Oof. So that's anime hell.
Well, make sure you get a refill of your medications.
Yep.
Again.
And also, just between us, be real, like, bring some Imodium because you're going somewhere new and you don't know what that's gonna do to you. Like,
Imodium.
It's best
to be
prepared.
I'm very dumb. What's Imodium do?
Oh, I don't know either.
Upset tum-tum.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Oh, no, that's for me. My tummy rolled like a 2 in Constitution when I was born.
And you can't even take most classes with that.
No.
Brutal.
No, I took Podcaster and here I am today.
Well, if it's all you qualify for, with your stats.
Well, you hit level 12 at least.
Yeah.
True. That was a long ass fucking road.
I can multi-class as the Twitch affiliate now.
Wow.
Thanks for the sub. I'd probably bring a Game Boy. Listen.
Yeah, man, I was gonna say baggy pants and the Switch and just fucking ride it out.
Oh yeah. Nothing.
I feel like the Switch is cheating.
Probably.
Like this.
No, I will allow the Switch. The Switch can fit. It's portable. It's the promise of the future.
No, I know, but it's just it inherently has more utility than like basically any other answer to the question.
Yeah, I've got like 25 games on it, and I've only played 2 of them.
Yeah.
I've got Clubhouse 51. I can play Hanafuda until I drop.
Oh my god.
No, I'm into that because when I was... Anytime I was on any, plane trip, road trip, any vacay, I was very... I often, as a child, didn't really use vacations as a reason to travel, see the world, and embrace the beauty of, like, my country and the world around me. And more just, like, saw it as a means to really just burn through some Game Boy games.
You gotta get through that backlog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can play Game Boy in a car?
No, I have to wait till we're stopped.
Okay.
Because otherwise
that's a superpower.
Oh, yeah.
I have that superpower.
Yes, it's very useful.
Took me a very long time in my life to understand that there were people who couldn't read while in a moving car.
Oh, no. I get it. Super sick.
I can't fathom, like, how do you live?
Audiobooks. I can for short bursts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't. Godspeed to you, your hollow shadow of a life. Like that. When you drink the blood of a unicorn, you live a cursed life, a half life. That's I assume is what it means. You can't read
the
car.
You can't read the car.
That's why Voldemort is so crazy. He can't read the car.
Oh no.
No, that's why I mastered the power of audiobooks, and I perfected the technique of, like, the mid-road trip CD switch without, like, taking your eyes off the road, you know? Mm-hmm. That's an advanced level.
Yeah.
That's probably about as hard as making a Philosopher's Stone.
Yeah, no, like, elementary school Melissa basically, like, majored in reading in the back seat of the car in the dark with the little light on.
Oh, the little book light thing?
Or the cabin light, which my parents somehow let me have on without driving them crazy.
How far do I have to squeeze down the list of books that I would bring?
What can you fit? What?
Backpack?
How big are your pockets?
You gotta carry it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, how big is the bag I'm allowed to bring? That's what we're
Whatever.
Go bag.
As big as you can carry.
I mean,
you
can, yeah, I think as long as you can just... You just have to hold on to whatever you're bringing.
Mm-hmm. It's like, it's like RuPaul's Drag Race. The queens can only pack like 5 suitcases. So, what's going in them suitcases?
Only 5 suitcases. Oh, la di da.
Not seen some of these runway looks.
That's fair. Yeah, it has to go down to Gideon and Harrow the Ninth by Tamsin Murr, Brothers of the Snake by Dan Abnett, and however many of the Young Wizards books by Diane Duane I could cram into the bag. That's everything else beyond that is optional.
Ooh, Earthsea books. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Hmm. There you go.
Mm-hmm. We're not really pushing like food.
Nah, who needs that?
It's fine.
That's not the point of the question.
I'm here to nourish my mind. Mm-hmm. I'm going to assume we have food at the house. And by house, I mean planet that we're refugeeing on for a few weeks. We're going to have intergalactic bao buns, and it'll be delicious and delightful.
Yeah,
there'll be
good.
People to talk to and rocks to explore.
Yeah, bring a cool rock back.
Yeah. What can I bring a cool rock with me in the bag?
Ooh, a reminder of home.
Mm-hmm. A geode.
A pet rock.
A cool earth rock.
Ooh, I do love that. I love a nice shiny rock. Like a smooth rock. Mm. Like something you could like put in your pockets.
Mm-hmm. And like rub on.
Yeah.
In times of stress.
Yeah, I have one of those. It's like a type of like agate, like an orangish kind of. All right, everyone have their 5 suitcases full of gowns ready.
Yeah, I'm traveling surprisingly light.
I mean, that's what we're gonna need.
Got
to get
my 5 suitcases, and I'm wearing 5 more gowns.
I think that's what we're gonna need to get through these episodes.
Well, in the meantime, while they're wishing back our planet into existence, let's go over episodes 38 through 40 of Dragon Ball GT. First, Melissa, you wanted to bring something up about the intro.
Maybe it was last episode, I don't remember. At some point you mentioned that the intro had changed.
Yeah.
And I didn't say anything at the time, but I was like, wait, really? Did I miss that? And so this week I did my patented side-by-side viewing of the English and Japanese versions. Funimation did not use the updated intro on the Japanese versions of the episodes.
At all?
Really?
At all. Huh. They are still running the same same intro.
But how can that be?
It's too,
yeah, how do they do that?
It's too... I've said this before. They host two different videos for the English and Japanese versions because the... I believe the English version is like a remastered, like the video quality is better and brighter.
The exposure is like way crazy on some of the original Japanese stuff if you look at it.
And I was watching the dub video and I saw that Super Saiyan 4 Goku at the end of it and I was like, wait, what? And like went back and rewound the Japanese one. I was like, nope, this is the same intro I've been watching.
Yeah,
but they did you dirty.
That's so wild.
I don't understand. They would be getting the footage already, though. They would be changing that.
I have no idea. This is just more Funimation weirdness.
That is so wild.
Yeah. So I got to see the new intro this week.
All right,
that's exciting.
Now just I also have an important note to make as we get going.
Mm-hmm. Please, please.
I wrote down at the end of the last viewing, the next time on for episode 37, said, will we find out if Kibito Kai can move fast enough to revive the important Saiyans? And I wrote that down because I wanted to know if we did in fact find out in this episode. Mm-hmm. And we did.
Yep.
Yeah.
Good on you, delivers.
Yep. You got it right for once.
Told the truth.
God bless.
Before we start in earnest, I would like to briefly enter the hyperbolic rhyme chamber.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Good, I'm glad you remembered.
I did think of a poem.
I have a poem too.
Thea, would you like to go first, or would you like to follow me up?
Slam down those stanzas.
What would you like?
Mine is dour.
Here's the dour. Mine, I don't know what mine is. It's a pantoum. I don't know. It's the kind of poem that, it sounds like it means something, but it probably doesn't.
I mean, that's, the most time-honored form of poetry, I'm pretty sure.
Mine is also exceptionally short.
Can you also explain, again, what a pantoum is?
Yeah, I'm curious.
It is a poetry form that I... Let me pull up the...
But you're about to say that I made up.
I did not make it up.
Also time-honored.
Yeah.
I was introduced to it by an ex. It is a form that was especially popular by French and British writers in the 19th century.
Okay.
Is originated in Malaysia in the 15th century. Thank you, poets.org. But it involves repeating lines in a kind of a pattern. So the second and fourth lines of one stanza become the first and third lines of the next stanza.
Okay.
So you get different meanings and different contexts if you're a skilled poet, or if you're like me, you just kind of throw some words that Goku said together and call it a poem.
Goku says some poetic as hell stuff in these episodes, so.
He does. This one, I didn't name it.
Untitled. I guess I'm going
untitled.
I'm untitled.
That's how you know you're a really cool poet.
Yeah.
I am the light behind the door, the answer to all that is evil. You see only my edges, mistaking the stream for its source. The answer to all that is evil, lend me your power, children. Mistaking the stream for its source, I will hold this hatred for you. Lend me your power, children. You see only my edges. I will hold this hatred for you. I am the light behind the door.
Damn.
Ooh.
Goku would be proud, I imagine.
Big snappies. I'm into it.
That's good.
You could fully, like, present that at, like, an actual, like, poetry slam jam, and no one would know that it that the contents were sourced from extant anime Dragon Ball GT.
Yeah. Can you imagine the flex of explaining it to them later, like, revealing after you had gotten, like, the most snaps of anyone on that, like, night?
I love that.
We should tweet it at Sean Schemmel and see if he'll read it.
Oh my god.
Holy shit.
That would be a dream.
Or just, like, recut it from the episode.
That also sounds pretty good.
Oh god, oh, we can do a sweet audio remix.
Well, not all of the lines Goku said. Mm-hmm. I mixed in some lines of my own.
Right.
Still very cool.
Yeah. Alright, Tyler, hit us with what you got.
My poem is entitled Hit Poem.
No, you should have done Extant Poem.
I'm open to feedback. Roses are red, Uzurus are golden, any other anime I wish I were beholden.
Oh, brutal. Brutalism.
Yes! Give us everything!
Thank you very much.
Listeners, if you too would like to join us and submit some of your own poetry, please do so at destructodiscourse@gmail.com. Let us know what you want us to call you, pronouns, and give us what you got. We want stanzas, we want haikus, we want couplets, we want limericks.
PG-13. I definitely want limericks.
Yes.
Yes.
PG-13. If I hear about a sand from Nantucket, I am writing you off. So without further ado, you guys ready to get into episodes of Dragon Ball GT?
Please.
We have to sooner or later.
It is time to end the baby saga.
Put baby to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Rockabye baby into the sun.
Damn. It's another good poem.
Yeah, yep. I didn't say you read two poems.
We're trying to leave the rhyme chamber.
A couplet in here is worth a sonnet in there.
That one took a second to penetrate. Damn it, that was good.
Episode 38 of Dragon Ball GT is Family Bonds.
The Japanese title roughly translates to The Revival of Super Saiyan 4 with Everyone's Powers. Dot, dot, dot.
Dot, dot, dot. It ends us on a little ellipsis. So we begin with the baby approaching the wounded Goku, who is totally bluffing and saying, yeah, I've got, like, so much power left in me. I got so much fight. I can go on for days and days.
My muscles are throbbing with power for punching.
His body was bombarded with blitz waves.
Whoa.
There's a lever.
The digital diva. Baby responds to this by punching Goku through a cliff.
Punches him through several ruined city blocks, I think.
Oh yeah. No, it gets full Looney Tunes.
It's impressive.
And he eventually blasts him a bunch with a bunch of mouth beam energy balls and just lays into him with this merciless beatdown of just, like, punch after punch overhead.
He calls him as helpless as an infant, which I thought was a bit of, you know, pot meat kettle.
Yes. A bit on the nose, yeah.
He's baby.
I believe this is Baby's level 3 super from the fighting game Dragon Ball FighterZ, where he turns into a big monkey, and then, like, you get, like, a POV of Baby pummeling you to death with his mighty ape fists.
Damn.
Fun.
Goku spurts blood from his mouth, and I feel like aside from Krillin getting gored by Frieza, this is the most, like, blood we've seen in a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, blood from the mouth is never good in an anime.
Mm-hmm. No.
I mean,
and it's in general, like, yeah. In real life.
Yeah. Unless he just lost a tooth.
That's still pretty bad, I think. You don't want it to be happening. to you.
Dragon Ball
That's
in general,
you don't want that.
Is not, like, for all of its violence, not particularly bloody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It started off more so, and then just kind of lost it as we went.
Mm. Yeah. Well, it got, you know, it's very blasty, people getting disintegrated with beams. But yeah, this is, oof, not great. Not looking good for Son Goku. Pan ponders what the point of living is if Grandpa dies, which...
Pan,
I mean,
I have some bad news for you about
Grandpa.
Yeah,
I got that too.
I have to say, I have never seen the whole "a woman's life is meaningless without a man" thing applied to a granddaughter-grandfather situation.
Kudos, Dragon Ball.
I think...
breaking new ground with these tropes.
In Dragon World, of all places, where death is just a funny hat.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
So Pan gets in the way of Baby's killing blow and pleads to the mercy of the court. We had nothing to do with the you know, destruction of the Tuffle race. We were innocent Saiyans, just trying to, you know, live it out here on this bitch of a Dragon Earth.
We had Super Saiyan Fake Out 2 here.
God.
She was so close.
Yeah.
She was getting bad. She was popping on off with a bang.
She was doing blasts.
For some reason, when she jumps in front of Baby and pleads, he stops for a
That's
second.
That's true.
I don't actually know why.
It could be just the merciless king waiting to, you know, hear out the feeble pleas of the peasantry.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. My subtitle for this episode is "Good job, Pan. Good effort."
so much for her.
Solid B minus.
A lot of hustle.
Determined,
yeah.
Determined to involve herself despite the plot's plans otherwise.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Pan launches blast after angry blast against Baby, but is swatted to the ground like an insect. Satan is freaking out about this. Meanwhile, Goku starts charging up a big ol' Kamehameha. And trying to, like, distract Baby. It's like, no, over here. Follow the birdie. Wait, no, that was Raditz. So just as Baby is approaching and is about to crush Pan underfoot, a beam from behind Goku strikes and knocks Baby off balance.
I like this
Who
shot.
Who is it?
It's a cool,
yeah.
It is a cool shot because it's like a fake out, like you think it's the Kamehameha, but because it's lined up just like that. But no, from behind him, it's Trunks.
And then hey. Goku says, "Looks like that miracle came right on time."
Because he was bluffing the whole time.
Yes.
Yeah.
He didn't have the juice for a beam.
Mm-mm.
It's good.
We're going into overtime. Trunks starts getting real mad at Baby. Baby starts monologuing about, like, "No, you're supposed to be my puppet. It was going to be perfect." And
come on,
the hive mind is totally cool. And Trunks is like, "No, free will." And then goes Super Saiyan.
And Trunks says that Baby controlled his body like a puppet,
mm-hmm.
which I feel like is very interesting because I've been imagining it's like he turned them evil with his evil babiness.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, that's
influence.
That's what you just said is very, very clearly what the show has been showing us. So I don't know what the fuck Trunks is talking about here. Maybe he doesn't remember it too well.
Mm-hmm.
I like the idea of Baby, like, play acting out what being a person is like through all these other little people. Like, these domestic scenes we've seen with Krillin is just Baby saying, "This is what a family does, right? This is how man and woman do."
That makes it makes Bulma extremely funny.
My space queen.
My space queen. My space queen building her empire. Trunks starts beating up on Baby. This, unfortunately, but predictably, does nothing. And Baby lays down the smackdown with his jaw. Just nods really hard, and Trunks goes into the earth.
The most powerful nod in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
He says something about... I forget what he says in the dub. He says something about Vegeta. References Vegeta.
Oh,
yeah. It's just
he's
like...
trying to tell Trunks that, you know, "Don't you recognize your father's body?
Your old
so
man.
Powerful."
Yeah.
Don't you recognize your father's big monkey body?
Yeah. There's a line in the Japanese version after Trunks attacks him that's, where Baby says, "That was a pathetic punch. Your dad's body weeps for you."
Damn. Okay, yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe he does understand these people better than we thought.
It's just roasting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
God.
More brutalism.
Has Trunks seen the Great Ape before?
I don't think so.
I can't imagine where he would have.
This has to be a bit of a body horror moment for Trunks. Saying, like, this is your dad's body transformed. You see your full potential. You could be this.
Oh,
get that tail
out.
Yeah.
Wait. Would it be like a lavender ape?
Ooh. With like long
a grape ape, as it were.
Ooh. Wow.
Is Grape Ape from the Hanna-Barbera cartoon, in fact, just Trunks
Uzuru
transformed
Trunks
into the mighty Uzuru and who has not been able to figure out how to transform back?
Just goofing around.
That must be it. It's another one of the alternate
premise
timeline Trunks.
I don't know what number we're at now. That's a good one, though.
That deserves to be on the list, certainly.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm typing it in right now.
Yeah. Good.
And I'm going to use Jay's exact phrasing because I like it. Is Grape Ape from the Hanna-Barbera cartoon, in fact, Trunks as the mighty Uzuru? All right, there
Thank
we go.
Thank you. Thank you.
The premise is now
Uzuru
available.
You've unlocked this premise. In addition to Trunks, Goten and Gohan are here. Yay!
Hey.
And so is Kibito Kai. Yay!
Hey.
I guess.
Yeah.
Baby kicks Trunks into the air and he flies in a beautiful arc and lands in the strong arms of not Goten.
Yeah.
He's upset to me.
Doesn't he just like crash into the ground?
He gets caught by Gohan.
Ah, gotcha. Goten and Trunks propose a fusion.
Yeah.
Yeah, do it.
Goku shuts down this idea immediately.
Goku.
Boo.
No fun.
Show me the new toy. I wanna show me the new collectible I can buy.
Show me the action figure.
Goku says no. Even if we all fused and did the villainy of teamwork upon Baby, we still would not be strong enough. So here's the plan. Just like the Saiyans originally gave their energy to Baby, you guys give your energy to me, and then I will land my finishing blow with Super Saiyan 4.
You know how else you can get energy from someone? Is fusing with them.
Is fusing! Wasn't that the whole point?
Can you do like a 4 or 5-way fusion? That would be awesome.
We haven't tried.
It would be very hard to draw, I suspect. Need features from 5 different people or
we
whatever.
We get into some Steven Universe shit.
I was going to say, not if you get multiple eyes and arms and legs.
That's true. Oh, that's why it's like that. So it was easier to design, ironically. That makes sense.
I don't know if it's easier to design.
I mean, you have more room to fit in features from more people.
True.
Nobody says anything about this weird Goku in front of them.
Nope.
That
yep,
they've never
fine
seen before.
They're fine with this Goku.
I mean, you know, it's just like, whatever.
They took one look and went, yeah, that's probably Dad.
Sounds about right. It's just
sometimes
just Goku,
dads just get hairier.
It's just Goku stuff.
Yeah. I do also want to say that I felt like Goku's speech about how he has to be the one to fight Baby felt very I would hate to use the term savior complex in terms of Goku.
for Goku?
Yeah. I don't know, it just felt very like, no, I want to do it.
Yeah.
In the dub. It felt much more like burdensome, I guess. would maybe be the word in the Japanese version.
Atlas, the way to the heavens.
Yeah, which is usually how he's been characterized in the past.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I just wanted to point out that weird characterization in Dubville.
Dubville.
There's a lot of stuff in these episodes especially that I would refer to as, like, fanon characterization. That's a very fanon Goku thing. Because Goku's relationship with his own power and his ability to save people is actually very complicated, and it's one of my favorite things about him as a character.
Yeah.
And this is a little less cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So before the Saiyans can offer their energy to Goku, Baby just starts blasting them. Turns out you can't just have a team huddle in the middle of the battlefield.
That's almost as cowardly as teamwork, what he does.
Gives him the old Danny DeVito. Yeah.
Interrupts somebody charging up. What? What?
He starts blasting.
An Always Sunny reference?
Yeah, I'll fill you in later, Dave.
Oh, okay. That's all you need to say.
So Goku starts... Goku buys the heroes some time with the one attack. That always fucking works.
Yeah.
Every time.
Oh my god.
Close your eyes.
Solar flare.
Solar flare from the top rope.
You remember solar flare?
I did.
Everyone forgets solar flare.
I always forget that we do things other than punch sometimes.
Yeah.
it blinds Baby and he goes tumbling into a crater. While the boys gather around Goku and power up. And Goku is just kind of standing between these, like, powering up teens, and he just, like, softly smiles like he's a cat near a space heater. You know what I mean? That kind of energy.
Look about him.
Yeah. Basically what he is.
Mm-hmm. A cat near a space heater?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not arguing.
It's just the space heater is his grandchildren.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, this specific situation you mean, okay. Yeah, definitely.
That's some Sailor Moon shit here, y'all.
Yeah,
really? Oh, the other Sailor Scouts giving Sailor Moon the energies?
Mm-hmm.
I love that. Baby leaps out of the crater and does that classic Gallic Gun pose in the sky. He is very angry.
I think at this point, Kibito Kai exclaims, "He's mad!" Which is definitely the Kibito Kai version of he's nuts.
Mm-hmm. It's the god version.
Yeah.
My word. And just as the blast is about to go off, we see something very unexpected and altogether rather unpleasant.
Unexpected and unwelcome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We rapidly zoom in. We journey to the center of Baby Vegeta, into his gully works, and see a strange green spark of energy come to life. Baby starts sweating a lot, pouring down his face, and
different body parts bulge and blossom.
Grow.
It's like, you know, the very unpleasant thing when people punch each other and the, you know, the fist kind of like stretches out through the back of their torso.
Punches them concave. Mm-hmm.
It's like
the
that,
punch
but
is coming from inside the tummy.
Yeah, it's like that, but for his whole body all the time.
Oh, the call is coming from inside the house.
Yeah. Let me check my notes here. I wrote, what the fuck, what the fuck, what the fuck. What the fuck.
That was
Baby
more
starts
or less
getting
my...
big in the wrong way.
Oh, man.
The worst way.
So wrong. Because we zoom in, and guess who? It's Oob.
Majoob from the top rope.
He's
powering up. He's still alive inside Baby's belly and giving him a very serious case of gas.
There was some very helpful flashbacks to remind us that he got turned into chocolate and eaten.
And he says, "Baby, that's my technique. Did you think you could use it against me?"
Very good.
Sure.
And Baby screams what I think is maybe my new favorite line in anime. "But how? He was a piece of chocolate!" But it's just, like even as far as, like, weird, complicated anime non-sequiturs go, I think that's magnificent. combined with like the really intense, you know, like it's very stereotypical anime villain voice. Like he basically mm-hmm. sounds like Frieza pitched down a little bit, but like I think that just makes it better. Like he takes himself so seriously, and this is what he's yelling about.
It's wonderful both in and out of context.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, okay, so Ub is doing this to buy Goku time, so the Saiyans can give Goku their energy. And, oh, Pan also shows up to offer energy!
Yeah!
And I just wanted to note that, because Pan is helpful.
Yeah!
Tepido Kai confirms that she is not a Super Saiyan, but she is the heart of a Super Saiyan.
Get in there, girl!
In the Captain Planet sense.
Mm-hmm. Ugh.
Get that participation trophy.
Come on, plot.
I don't know why you guys are still holding out hope. Like, I can't.
I'm not holding out hope. I'm just continually disappointed.
And there's nothing I can do to help you at this point.
I know.
I'm not mad. I'm just continually disappointed.
Baby tries to, flex Ub out of him. He tries to warp his inner walls back inward.
Very, very unfortunate.
He's got some insane muscle control down there.
This definitely gave me fearful flashbacks to when Goku went inside that dinosaur to get the Dragon Ball.
Oh, yeah.
And just popped on out.
Oh, no.
With a bang.
Pop on the tummy.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. And I felt fairly certain that's where this was going.
Mm-mm. Me too! I was like, this is framing to be some kind of an exit, but I don't know what the exit is, and I'm mm-hmm. afraid to find out, and oh mm-hmm. no, here it comes.
This mm-hmm. was truly, like, it's been a while since this series has thrown me for a loop like this, is when Ub showed back up. Like, what? I was like, holy shit.
And that was only like 2 weeks ago
mm-hmm.
that he disappeared.
Yeah. Again, show just compresses an entire like season's worth of stuff into like two or three episodes. It's really mm-hmm. remarkable.
Speaking of compression,
oh,
the walls finally close in on Ub, and there's a flash of light, and Baby spits Ub out.
Literally spits him out.
Yep,
that's the best option.
Yeah. Thank you. That is the most merciful way that this could have gone. I'm mm-hmm. so glad. So, Ub launches a Super Gallic Gun at Goku and the gang mid-charge. The villainy.
Ugh. Mm. Despicable.
And what a putz.
What a. And there is a massive cloud of dust.
Hmm.
And when it clears,
it's a desert.
Everyone is unconscious and the ground covered in dust.
And like submerged in the dust in a lot of cases.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we've subverted the dust clearing.
Truly.
The dust clearing, this is one of the worst animated things in the whole show. Like you can see that it's like a specific static asset and they're just mm-hmm. like dragging it to the side across the screen.
Like it's made of cardboard.
Yeah. But I mean, dust clearing, Baby should have known better, frankly.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Satan panics because he doesn't see Pan, so he's like digging through the dust. And when Satan does not find Pan, he is very mad. And literally, like, challenges Baby to throw down, like, right there.
I really like this shot, where it's, you know, him in the foreground and just the massive shape of Baby, like, striding across the landscape towards mm. him. I really like that shot.
In the distance?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It rules.
Japanese Mr. Satan, when he thinks Pan is dead, tells Baby to kill him.
Oh, God.
Damn.
That's a bit different.
I mean, he implies it.
Yeah, I think the English, he does say that it's not, you know, what's the point of life without...
Can't go on without you.
Yeah, he does a go ahead and kill me.
God damn.
Oh.
Hercule got real for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Don't mess with the grandkids.
Do not. But we find that Goku is in the sky and he's holding Pan.
Hey!
Yay! Yay. There was a tiny bit of dust still left.
Yep. Yeah, there's a second cloud of dust in the sky that had yet to clear.
Yeah, with Goku, just for Goku.
Tiny Goku dust. Pan wakes up. Is hanging out with Mr. Satan now. Goku calls Mr. Satan a true hero for standing up to Baby.
With neither fear nor regard for his own life.
I mean, despite the fact that he's saved the Earth, or has had a key, like, role in saving the Earth, like hurling Android 16's head over to Gohan, or getting the people of the Earth to give their energy. But whatever, yeah, no, this makes you the true hero.
He, in the, I think in the Japanese version, he tells Mr. Satan he needs to go get Pan and go away because, like, his aura is so crazy powerful that he needs to not stand close to him.
Oh, shit. He's,
I mean,
he's,
I believe that.
He is a hot stove.
Yeah.
And he looks like it, too. He's got, like, red glowies kind of at the end of his hair.
He's got Yumi hair.
Oh my
God. Yeah, I'm into it. Baby is very mad about all of this. And he powers up, and Goku powers up, and there's this cool red-yellow lighting contrast happening. And the episode ends with the narrator saying, "Is there anything Goku can do to put the sins of the Saiyans to bed once and for all?"
I mean, I think we assessed that. No?
Yeah, I would assume.
I don't think the narrator knows what's going on any more than we do.
I feel like we've all lost a bit of the plot, even Goku.
Oh, just wait, as far as that goes.
He's got some wild metaphors going on here at the end about light and darkness.
This. It's so fucking weird, but I love it.
I wrote it down.
Good.
Yeah.
All you can see is the light shining through the cracks around the edges of the door, baby. And you just don't think that little bit of light can overcome your dark plans. But what you can't see is what's behind the door. That's what I am.
Kingdom Hearts.
I was literally
Light breaks the darkness. This form is my instrument. I have no limits.
What are you talking about?
I mean, we were already talking about Baby as Xehanort, you know.
Baby Nort.
Baby Nort.
Baby Nort.
Baby Nort. Doo doo.
Oh God.
Nope.
Two weeks
stop.
In a row.
I must stop. I need to stop.
I mean, it's gotta end here.
Does anyone have any final thoughts for episode 38?
Last week they promised me this was gonna be wrapped up in the next episode of Dragon Ball GT.
What they meant was it'll be wrapped up in the next episode of Destructo Discourse.
Yeah.
Easy mistake to make.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We are also an extant podcast.
Yeah. episode 39, Baby Put to Rest.
The Japanese title roughly translates to The Finale. At last, Baby is annihilated.
Alright.
Only one exclamation point in that whole thing.
Whoa.
No, yeah.
We're low on exclamation points this week.
Huge problems.
We open up on a crowd of terrified Earthlings still watching the fight for some reason while colossal powers overhead. And here's where we get more of Goku's odd soliloquy of, like, darkness and light. And the two run/fly down a canyon corridor and just hurl a bunch of beams and blasts at each other whilst the peanut gallery speculates.
In this convenient canyon.
Yeah.
That exists for the purposes of this specific exchange.
Yeah, it's the Kessel Run.
Yeah. I don't... Maybe.
It's like a walk and talk from the West Wing, except it's a beam scramble.
But with towers.
Oh my God, you're so right.
It's a beam and scream.
Yeah.
It has to go into the lexicon, I think. Mm-hmm. We have the beam scramble, the beam struggle, the dust clearing, and the beam and scream.
I feel like that's just most beams, though.
Yeah, that's fair.
Also, so the various peanut galleries are watching and determining, like, who's stronger, what's going on. The Kais are watching in Super Heaven. The Old Kai says a very strange thing here and says, while Goku's taking care of the hen, we'll take care of the eggs. Referring to Kai going back down and using the sacred water to cure all the earthlings.
Which has nothing to do with anything that happens here.
Not really, no.
Kibito Kai is really like he's kind of degenerated since we previously saw him. Like, you know, both of his components were very conscientious people who took things very seriously, even if they couldn't really back it up. Yeah. And now they think two people with big numbers fighting is super cool. It's going to be the best fight ever.
I still hold this opinion from the Buu saga. I think fusing into Kibito Kai made Kai kind of a rowdy boy.
Neither of them were rowdy boys, though.
Something unlocked in there. Maybe some dormant traits kind of came out.
They were both so unrowdy that it wrapped back around a rowdy.
Mm-hmm. Two negatives cancel out.
Mm-hmm. All right.
It's just math.
It's a Mobius double reach a rowdy.
Wow.
That joke is only for Dave.
Wow.
I got it too.
Thank you. It's also.
I mean, getting it doesn't like it doesn't really change the way it's received.
Doesn't reduce the pain. So, baby does a beam scramble. Works about as well as you would imagine. There's a bunch of lava everywhere from the blasts. Baby does like his 15th get up super gun. Doesn't do anything. Baby gets super duper angry and makes a big ol' revenge death ball.
Like a real big one.
Mm-hmm. This one's real big.
I thought for sure here, as he was like getting ready to make it, that conversation with the Kais would pay off and that there wouldn't be enough hate from the populace to make the hate ball.
That would make so much sense. That's way better.
But that's not what happens.
Nope. Mm-hmm. We're death ball as normal. Here
there
it is.
Goes that potential. Just waving goodbye again.
Bye.
Goodbye, potential.
I'll miss you. Don't forget to write.
Oh, they always forget to write.
Oh, damn.
Oh, wow. Ouch.
No one took a second to sink in there.
Oh, that was a delayed attack.
God.
So, okay. Here's what happens. He hurls the Revenge Death Ball, and Goku just grabs it and starts to push against it. Kind of like the same thing that, like, Kid Buu did with the Spirit Ball bomb at the very end, where he just grabs the big attack.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Goku gets, like, pushed into a cliff and, into the ball?
Sinks into the center of it.
He goes into like a blue blackish void and is making like pain noises. Baby runs up, ready to claim victory, saying, "Your mind will give in to terror and insanity long before your body disintegrates."
I guess that's what the Revenge Death Ball does.
I didn't know it did that. That's scary.
That's cool.
It's a ball full of hatred and revenge. It's the worst parts of the internet.
it had been mistranslated to Reddit Death Ball.
Damn.
I didn't know that baby was Wi-Fi enabled.
Goku, trapped in the void, steals his resolve, thinking upon his family.
No, this cannot break me. I am beyond this pain. I won't give in to this. Gohan, Goten, Pan, Trunks, I love you too much. I will not let him hurt you. I will not let him hurt you!
Ah!
combines hatred and terror with love.
With love.
Sailor Moon shit, y'all.
I recorded it because he said he loves his family.
He just has an extremely avoidant attachment style.
Yep.
Sure. These like poetic lines that Goku and Baby keep exchanging like are legitimately rad. Like, I just love them for their own sake. And then Baby answers the last one with just, I hate you!
You're not my real dad! Boof! So some freak cool shit starts happening. Goku does a big holler and appears to absorb the death ball from the inside. There's all these swirlies of energy. And Baby literally pulls a, he can't do that. Can he do that? And Goku starts loading up a big Kamehameha as we cut to commercial.
Goku does in fact do that.
He launches the beam and hits Baby square in the face, and he goes flying and lands in a crater. And Goku is floating over him. We hear a faint heartbeat over the music track. Pan cheers Goku on, but Goten says that if Goku kills Baby, then Vegeta dies as well. Trunks, a little too quickly, Trunks jumps in and says, it's what he would have wanted. It's like, okay. He's a briefs, damn. Ice cold.
Yeah.
Goku launches a yellowish beam, his eyes flashing. Pan and the gang wince and look away. When they look on to see what happens, we find that Goku had blasted off the tail of Baby Vegeta.
So
there's no Piccolo there to tell them to honor his bravery.
So, okay. Because Baby points out, or Bulma points out, Vegeta didn't have a tail.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The Blitz waves made him grow a tail?
Mm-hmm. I would assume, yeah.
The monkey's gotta have a tail, Melissa.
I don't know what's, like, confusing about this.
Okay.
You can't have a monkey without a tail.
Yeah. Like, it's ridiculous.
It's a gorilla at best.
At best.
I don't know how I hadn't noticed.
Because they make a whole to-do about, like, oh, we're going to blast you with Blitzwave so you can grow into a big ape without a tail. And I just kind of took it as read that Vegeta, Baby Vegeta, was just a big ape that didn't have a tail. I didn't look. I wasn't paying that much attention.
Yeah, that's your problem. Like, that's your fault for being stupid.
Ouch. Maybe when Bulma said it's pure Blitz waves, she was talking about his tail.
The tail is just made of Blitz waves.
Yeah.
Solidified energy.
It's a virtual tail.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you get an extra carve in Monster Hunter.
Yeah.
I would, you know, I'm under the assumption that if Yajirobe were here, we would have figured this shit out a long time ago.
That guy knows all about tails.
Mm-hmm.
Even future Trunks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just anyone with a sword.
Yeah, remember Trunks' sword?
No.
I almost forgot.
Yeah, me.
It showed up in the intro, and that's it.
Literally, that's it. Like, just he never uses it even once in the fucking show.
I'm not convinced he even gets a sword. I don't think that happens in GT.
No, definitely doesn't.
Technically, it's already happened in Z.
Whoa!
Beyond the futureness, but also in one of the movies, he gets it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. Huh. Okay.
It doesn't make any sense.
We're not dealing with the boy from the future. We're dealing with the boy in the present.
Correct.
We're dealing with just the boy.
The boy. Baby curses that vile Saiyan as Vegeta's body shrinks back to human form. And in a last-ditch effort, Baby bursts out of Vegeta's back as a little silver slime ball. Gross.
Mm-hmm.
We don't think too much on that. Satan chases after him, and Baby reforms into, like, an adult man?
Original like Baby.
His, yeah. Sort of. Semi-original adult Baby.
He looks like Lord. Adult. He looks like, yeah, how we originally saw Baby, but, like, adult Z Fighter height. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, Goku becomes a baby, and he becomes an adult. Makes perfect sense.
Sure. They rhyme.
They rhyme.
It's like poetry.
It's poetry.
like they rhyme.
So here's what happens. Here's what happens.
Please tell me.
Baby flashes his eyes and gets away. Goku tends to Vegeta. Vegeta wakes up, and him and Goku smile at each other, and I like it.
Yeah. Hey, sunshine.
Hey, baby. What's going on? Lord Baby returns to Bulma, who is just like, yes, Lord Baby, we are still with you. We will go, and gets smacked to the ground as Baby boards an escape craft in a panic.
That is Baby? Not how you treat your space queen.
Like,
no.
Yeah, like, she's the only reason you fucking got this far, man.
Exactly!
He's an even worse employer than Frieza.
Mm-hmm. He takes off into space, hitting all of the buttons, going beep boop. And Goku responds to this by launching one more for the kids, a Kamehameha. Which
I love that one.
Which blasts the craft, wait for it, into the sun.
Baby's surprised by this, and I don't know why. Like, he's like,
how
oh,
long
my
has
enemy,
that sun been there?
My enemy, who has incredible beam powers, shot me down with a beam. Like, this is flabbergasting to him for some
how
reason.
How could this be?
How many DBZ villains or Dragon Ball villains have been launched into the sun?
I feel like it's happened before and it hasn't worked.
I only specifically remember Cooler.
It was Cooler? Okay. And even that didn't fully take.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly what I meant. I was like, Goku, like, you should know better. Like, this doesn't really work.
He's already a robot. Kind of.
Yeah,
maybe
true.
Cooler survived because he was so cold.
Yeah, the cold just balanced out the heat of the sun.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
I think.
So Baby's craft goes flying into the sun, and we get... I won't call it a funny face. We get the rapid disassemblement of Baby as he gets swallowed by the sun, and it's kind of grisly, because you do see, like, bits, pieces, and, like, a robotic jaw come loose.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's pretty cool.
They put some oomph into them drawings.
And remember at the last second that Baby is a quote-unquote machine mutant.
Right.
Whatever that meant, I don't think we ever knew.
Yeah.
I don't think they ever knew.
No. Sounds cool, though.
Yep. And that's the end of Baby. He's been put to bed.
Mm-hmm. Forever.
Good night, Baby.
Good night, Baby.
Put an eternal timeout.
Mm-hmm. And Goku no longer senses Baby, and it's super duper fine.
Totally fine.
Everything is good now.
Yeah. That was the only threat they were facing, so we're good now.
Yep.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Gohan literally says, that oughta do it. So we're back on the lookout. Goku's back into kid mode, and Dende disperses the sacred water into a mist for the people of Earth, while Kibito, Kai, and Gohan head to the Tuffle Planet.
We're back on mists. It's all about mists again.
We're good back mist, on the mists. Though.
Yeah, this time also, it's good mist.
Good people mist.
Nice. Worth noting that in the Japanese version, the dub has just some instrumental music for this. Mm-hmm. The Japanese version does use the end theme song. Over
yeah, don't you see?
Yeah.
That must mean it's the end of the show. It's over.
Mm-hmm.
They did it.
Mm-hmm. Time for some, you know, shenanigans and fun times.
Sure.
Yep. Mm-hmm. We've earned
before
it.
Before the
we've
next
earned,
arc.
We've earned a happy ending. Even when, like, the mist stops falling over the earth in the gentle sparklies, there's, like, a rainbow in the sky. And Goku's, like, smiling, and he's like, ah, this is the way Earth should be.
Mm-hmm.
And then immediately a bunch of earthquakes start happening.
Oops.
Volcanoes explode.
This is the funniest fucking thing in the whole show.
I love it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because we, the audience, are complicit in this moment.
I want to put a pin in something. We're going to dive into this in a minute. So here's what's happening. Popo reveals that since the Black Star Dragon Balls were used by Baby, that all of their plans were for nothing and that the Earth is set to explode on its original schedule. Here's the thing. I went back and forth between dub and sub. The way it's phrased is that the sub makes it sound like the fact that Baby is using that wish turned off the Earth timer and made it back to its original yearly destruction thing from, episode one, right? The dub makes it sound like a Baby made the wish, and then a year has passed since he made that wish.
Yes.
Pan explicitly says it's been almost a year since he made Planet Tuffle.
I thought it had been a day tops.
Yeah, which cannot happen. I'm looking at the text as it is written, and I'm going, no.
I looked back at episode descriptions on the Wikipedia, and Planet Tuffle was made in episode 30, which is when Goku was in Sugoroku space. Mm-hmm. We had the fight with Majoob. We had Goku turning into the Great Ape. We had Goku being super... It's all been one fight. They haven't been fighting for 7 months.
No, they haven't been fighting for a day.
12 months. 11 and a half months is how you get 2 weeks left in a year.
Yeah.
I can math.
And so can Pan, because she says that there's 2 weeks left until the Earth explodes. So yeah, folks, I'm not gonna buy how the dub phrased that.
She does have say in blood, so maybe she just can't do math, but it's still.
Lee, you listen here. She's half Saiyan, but that half is Gohan.
You are correct.
He's a great scholar.
That's the. Is the Saiyan who can do math.
Yeah. So that I think that balances out to just a baseline level of arithmetic skill, which is more than anyone else from space has.
Mm-hmm. I will go with the way that it was done in the Japanese style and say that the baby wish just kind of canceled out the work they'd done, and it put Earth back on its original destruction timer, because that is the only way these events make sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
To me.
Even then, barely.
Even then, not really, kind of. Yeah.
Yeah.
So enough about me. Does anyone else have any final thoughts on episode 39?
I just couldn't fucking believe it, because I hadn't forgotten. I had completely forgotten that this was a thing. and of course it was Popo who remembered, specifically.
It's his job.
Yeah, that's... He's the most competent person on the lookout. This has been true for a while.
I feel so bad for Dende, who offers to give up his position because he gave Baby the Dragon Balls. Buddy, you had an egg in you. It's okay.
Mm-hmm. He takes this really hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You were maybe a puppet? Unclear.
We still don't know.
Citation needed.
Yeah.
Episode 40. Hang on. I have a question. Does anyone miss Piccolo?
I miss Piccolo. Ooh.
I miss Piccolo.
Anyway,
guy that nail fused with.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That guy that nail fused with.
I remember him. He was all right.
Yeah.
Old Greeno, we called him.
Such a straight face, Tyler. Oh my god.
Sorry, that was just a random question. I got distracted. Episode 40 is Piccolo's Decision.
What's the Japanese title of this one? I really need to know.
It roughly translates to Earth Explodes! Piccolo's Grave Decision.
Okay. I
that
can't.
That implies that he did it.
I can't lie to you. When I saw the title for this one, it threw me for a fucking loop.
Dave's having all kinds of memories
this
now.
Is such a this 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 was the most, like, emotionally complicated up and down, like hour and a half of my life when I was watching these episodes.
You saw this episode title and you looked up and Piccolo appeared in your room as a force ghost.
Yeah, I mean, basically.
Oh, Earth is exploding. Oh, Piccolo exists.
Yeah.
So we start out on the lookout. The crew are trying to figure out how we're going to possibly get the Dragon Balls in 2 weeks, and they've determined that they can't. Can't do it.
Nope.
It took that long to get, like, a Dragon Ball.
I'm surprised Goku's been such a negative Nelly lately. Like, we can't do fusion, we can't work together, we can't get the Dragon Balls.
We can't have nice things anywhere, huh, Goku? We can't have Super shit on Saiyan, Dragon World.
Super Saiyan 4 really, really brings out the souse.
Made him a grouch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's powered up his grouchiness.
Not wrong. He's just become a realist.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's terrifying in and of itself.
The gang get in contact with the Tuffle Planet, so that would be Bulma, Gohan, and Chi-Chi, mostly. With Kibito Kai just kind of in the background waving.
He's just hanging out.
Hey!
Vegeta...
I brought the water!
I brought refreshments.
Chi-Chi chews out Goku while Vegeta chuckles in the background.
I noted that,
good.
Too.
It's very good.
Yeah. He's chuckling at that. He's chuckling at Bulma being around again and still being herself.
Mm-hmm. And they're basically like, why can't you pick us up and take us back to Earth? And Goku's like, because the Earth is gonna explode.
It's like, oh, well, this is awkward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
they tell them about the Dragon Balls, and in the Japanese version, Pan makes sure to bring up how hard she personally worked at getting those Dragon Balls.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Lest we forget.
Mm-hmm. Lest we forget.
Like we forgot about that the Earth was going to blow up.
Mm-hmm. Lest we forget that time she was a bee queen.
Hell yeah.
Well, I will never forget.
Vegeta comes up with a plan.
We learn his true power is logistics.
That makes sense to me.
Moving people back and forth.
This is not the first time he's done this. Like, not just logistics, but, like, coming up with some clever, like, twisting of the mechanics to save everyone. Like, the whole thing at the very end with, like, the dragon wishes, and it's like, mm-hmm. Oh, wait, I wish Goku had just had all his strength back. Okay, good.
How did we forget about numbers?
Vegeta says we can use the capsule corp crafts, we can have Supreme Kai, or Kibito Kai, rather, and Goku... instant transmission, everyone. And Goku says, yeah, as long as I've got Super Saiyan 4, I can just do a lot of instant transmission.
Sure.
So he does lose some of his powers being a child.
I think that was established, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I remembered that. Speculated it based on how things were going in the space shenanigans.
It definitely does something weird to what we expect of his power.
Yeah.
It makes it inconsistent, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
It introduces inconsistency into Dragon Ball. No way.
What? Never happens.
What?
That's a truly terrible, terrifying curse to inflict.
But how will we tabulate all the numbers?
So Vegeta says that he's used to migrating large groups of people from planet to planet from his old days on the Frieza Force.
You didn't do that once.
Yeah.
You blew them all up, jackass.
I don't know where this is coming from.
I know, I thought he just meant, like, moving troops around.
Maybe.
That's what I interpreted,
yes. Certainly not civilians.
But
no.
I also don't imagine they would have put him in charge of that, or that he would have submitted to doing that much paperwork.
Maybe he foisted all the paperwork off on someone else, but he was paying attention.
Just foisted it on Raditz.
Oh, yeah, no, it was definitely Raditz.
Another issue is that they're going to have some trouble convincing the people of Earth to migrate onto the Tuffle Planet to hang out for a bit. And so they turn to Mr. Satan.
Their secret weapon.
The people's hero.
They remember the man with the nat 20 charisma score.
Right.
Hell yeah. I think it's not so much a charisma score as it is like a reputation talent. which is also I love this. I'm super happy this comes up again because I legitimately love this whole thing at the end of Z.
It is his superpower.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's what he brings to the team.
He is beloved.
Yeah.
I love it.
So Satan is giving like a big speech about what's going to happen and how to prepare yourselves to travel to the Tuffle planet over a big like televised conference.
And right as he's trying to convince everyone, like the Earth starts to shake at exactly the right moment, mm-hmm. which I right. think is a good thing. Thank goodness for that.
Yeah, that's definitely like helped with the roll.
That's like the El Dorado thing where the volcano starts rumbling as the gods are arguing. He says that all of Satan's helpers will be wearing fun badges with his face on them.
Do you think he just had those laying around?
Oh, or did yes,
they
absolutely.
Make them?
Mm-hmm. Yes, those are from the merch store. Yeah, that was from a Connie table that did not move a lot of product.
Unused merch. Yeah, they go around. Yeah, they go around. You know, all of the people who wear. These are, you know, his helpers, and, you know, Gohan tries to give one to... I think it's Goten tries to give one to Vegeta, and Vegeta's mm-hmm. just not having it.
He doesn't even say no, he just walks away.
Yeah. But they come in different colors!
They come in different colors! I love that.
Yeah.
I want to see the design variants. Give me... Spill that tea.
Mm-hmm.
So, we all get into work. Everyone grabs hands, except for 18, who won't grab her husband's hand.
He ends up getting transported anyway, it's fine.
He does. Goku is, like, transporting people by, like, the baseball stadium full, pretty much.
They keep, for some fucking reason, they keep cutting to a specific family that appears in black and white.
Yes!
I took
a screenshot of this.
What the it's fuck a family, is going on here?
It's a family in black and white looking at like a typical old, like a homestead kind of a house. And they're watching the TV, and the TV is in color with Satan on it in color. But we cut back to the family. It's like, where are we going? We're going on a vacation. And they're still in black and white.
And they showed them several times. So we know it wasn't a mistake. Like, I thought for a second, is this... Like
no, it cuts back to them.
Did they just not have time to color these panels? But nope, that's what they're supposed to look like.
WandaVision who?
I haven't actually seen WandaVision, so I didn't feel like I was qualified to make that joke, but I did think about it.
Goten tries to, I guess, convince some punkers in an arcade to come with him, and gets verbally assaulted by what appears to be, and sounds like, Kuwabara from Yu Yu Hakusho. Yeah.
It certainly does.
You're a meshy.
All of these scenes are amazing.
Very fashionable. Ready for video games.
Definitely.
End of the world won't stop this high score.
Nope.
Nope.
The punkers all get knocked out. By Vegeta, who then says, "Put him in with the luggage." We cut to these anime Australians.
Yeah, meanwhile in Dragon World Australia.
Mm-hmm. Dragon World Down Under.
The dad who starts talking here, the guy is specifically credited by the subtitles as Danny's father. That's who he is.
Mm-hmm. So Danny's father and Danny's mother are are gathering the livestock into their truck to take on board the craft.
Very, spy too.
Beautifully drawn geese and pigs.
Very important pigs.
Danny is hanging out with the dog, the family dog.
Woofer.
Woofer. That's his name, Woofer, which makes me angry.
Woofer.
That's a good dog. It deserves a better name than that.
I think it's a perfect name.
Bloody Woofer.
we can agree to disagree.
So we get a montage of Goku and Kai transporting, like, all of the side characters, pretty much from Dragon World, like.
Thank goodness they travel to the far north and rescue Black Frankenstein. Black Frankenstein's monster, I guess. Is that a side character?
He's Ader. Like
he's from Dragon Ball.
Really?
He's an android.
Okay,
android number 8.
Oh,
He's an actual in- yeah.
Okay. The androids have come so far.
He was an android before it was cool.
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah. He's from the Red Ribbon Saga. Okay. We get those anime Native Americans at the base of Korin's Tower.
Yep.
We get Pilaf and gang. Those idiots. Tien and Chaozu are here.
Yay, Tien.
Yeah, Tien in his cool outfit.
The Pilaf and his gang, the ones that started this whole Black Star Dragon mess in the first place.
Yeah, God.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you get onto the Ark.
And think about what you've done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As everyone is loading on, Woofa, the dog, gets away, and Danny chases after him as the craft takes off into space. Goku uses his psionics to find the stragglers. He
immediately detects that there are exactly four people.
That is so wild. In 2 weeks, they did a bang-up job.
Yeah, sure did.
It's 2 weeks, and there's four people left on the planet. Four?
Now,
just four.
He goes to find these four people, and for some reason, all of them were already about to die for reasons completely unrelated to the Earth blowing up.
Let's get into it.
Immediately before the Earth was going to blow up.
Yeah, there's a drunk guy, and he's about to get crushed by, like, a sign that's gonna fall. There's a couple, they're on a raft in, like, a tumultuous sea with thunder and storms and stuff.
Yeah, in, like, a thunderstorm.
And there's a monk meditating in a forest that is burning down.
And he's too focused on his meditation to notice or move.
Yeah.
You could say that all of those things were caused by the Earth being destroyed.
But there's plausible deniability in all of them, which I think is wild.
I don't want to be too dark, but we might be giving Goku too much credit here. He says there are four.
He says there's four.
In the Japanese, he
can't count.
Goku says there are four.
In the Japanese, he says, "Oh, there's that many, huh?"
A little bit more
leaving it open to maybe he saw some others.
Also plausible deniability.
Yeah.
He didn't see Danny.
It's true. So he teleports everywhere and gets all the stragglers on the craft. And it is at that point, of course, that Danny's mother and Danny's father realize that there is no Danny.
They have a full Home Alone moment.
So we get to we cut to Danny and Woofa's wasteland adventures. There is something deeply sinister about just a kid and his dog on a crumbling death planet alone. There's just such a sinister energy to that. The ground that they're walking on, the very ground, crumbles away, and they go tumbling into the abyss, but they're saved by a shadow with long shoulder pads and a turban and a cape. It's Piccolo!
It's Big Green!
Let that child alone.
Big Green!
Big Green!
Let that child alone.
Goku does a quadruple take. Like, he goes... He whips around and, like, the camera, like, goes to different zooms of him going, huh? 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 Piccolo! Goku gets ready to transport everyone back, but suddenly, oh no, he's out of energy! He de-transforms. Piccolo gives him a clothed pep talk.
Even more powerful than a Nike pep talk.
You feel great! You can do this! He probably got that from Nail, I would imagine.
Yeah.
So he grabs Goku's hand and transfers all of his energy to him. And it's kind of interesting because he moves his hand back up to his forehead in like the instant transmission pose. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't know, there's something I love about that. And Goku lets out a yell and he teleports everyone back onto the ship. Everyone. Except...
What?
Piccolo.
No!
But we just
We just got him back.
He was holding on to Goku.
This is the wildest shit. I mean, I do kind of understand his reasoning, but this is the wildest shit.
We'll get into it. So Piccolo is left on the exploding Earth. He's surrounded by lava flows pouring everywhere. He reaches out to Gohan telepathically, and he explains what's going down. He's like, your dad's out of energy, and I'm the only one left on the Earth, and, you know, and I would ask Kai to come here and teleport me away, but I'm gonna ride this one out.
Going down with the ship.
He's going down with the ship, that is the Earth. His thinking is that if he dies, then the Black Star Dragon Balls will become inert, and thus he will prevent anyone from misusing them on episode one of a spin-off anime ever again.
To blow up any other planets.
Yeah, I mean, in theory, like, Tyler, you know, like, his goal is essentially to prevent Dragon Ball GT from ever happening again.
And I respect that.
Which I assume you consider an absolute good.
Yeah, that's the noblest thing he's ever said.
I do like this, because I like the idea of an inversion of, like, the Guardian of Earth.
Yeah.
Trope. Like,
no, it's not out of character at all. It's just so fucking funny to me in the silliest way possible.
It's out of nowhere. It's a huge bummer.
They bring him back instantly just to get rid of him.
Yep.
Just trying to spite me personally.
Yep.
The Black Star Balls are too dangerous. Look what they're doing to the Earth. If I die, they'll turn to stone and this will never happen again.
I don't want you to die!
It's okay, Gohan. I know now that it was meant to be this way. Sometimes we have to look beyond what we want and do what's best.
But Piccolo...
Come now, it's all right. This is the path that I've chosen.
Yep. So he is choosing to sacrifice himself. This is my favorite part, though. Gohan's, like, crying. He's like, no, Mr. Piccolo! And Piccolo's, like, again, appearing in front of him like a force ghost, like a telepathic thing. And he's like, but let's talk about yourself. You know, you've grown and matured so much in all these years. You've become so strong yet so humble. And to that, like, we are shown clips of baby Gohan murdering Piccolo in a canyon.
The
visuals are so good. Because over that, we hear Piccolo saying, your power is guided by love, and it makes me grow as a person.
Let's talk about something else, like how you've matured. You've become a truly great warrior, Gohan, and yet you've remained humble. You've shown me that power is nothing if not guided by love. And watching you grow has helped me grow, Gohan. That's why I'm here. It's begun. Goodbye, my friend.
And I'm like, you could have
so strong, Gohan. You romped my whole ass off.
I'm like, we could have shown anything, really.
Any footage, whatsoever.
Any other moment they've shared together.
You know. The Piccolo in front of Nappa's beam, the Super Saiyan 2 moment, anything. You've got the archives. You can pull from the vault, the Disney vault.
But here we can see that the student has finally surpassed the master, even if student was possessed by a machine mutant at the time.
Mm-hmm. So Piccolo looks down. His hand is bleeding for some reason. And he says it's begun, and he lets out a final holler as the Earth erupts and Gohan weeps for his master and his friend.
Bye Piccolo.
So
Piccolo.
From what you said, I take it in the GT continuity this is actually the end of Piccolo, huh?
I think so. I mean, I don't have any future knowledge, but I think this is it. He
it
might show
like
up in.
The end.
He might
I thought
show
that was what
up
Tyler
in,
had said.
I think he might show up in, like, maybe a few heavens or something.
Yeah.
Maybe he gets
to
go
just,
to Fight Planet.
Yeah, let's just say that the rest of the series deals heavily with
the afterlife planes, so maybe okay. We'll see him around.
Okay, fair.
Ooh, okay. All right.
He's not going to be sitting under waterfalls or anything.
They might have waterfalls in heaven.
Depends on which heaven.
True.
Yeah, I like the idea that he ended his life meditating by a fireball.
That's true. Living his truth.
And
couldn't
here's,
go out any other way.
Here's okay. here's what here's what really adds insult to injury. Epilogue. Anyway, they got the Dragon Balls from Namek, and
they wished Earth back off camera.
Yep.
But we don't wish back Piccolo.
We don't wish back Piccolo with them two other wishes.
I mean, like, I guess he did have reasoning.
I guess if he's around, then the Black Star Dragon Balls are around, and okay,
bringing
fine.
Him back would have been disrespecting his last wish.
Honor his listen, bravery!
You know what I was about to say, yeah, it wouldn't have been honoring his bravery. But, oh my god, this is so wild.
You know all that potential of everybody having to acclimate to living on a new planet? Wave it the fuck goodbye!
Goodbye! That's what Purunga's here for. Purunga's the big status quo lever that we flip. Because he can... Undo plot, because he's tucked away in a part of the galaxy no one cares about. He's got three wishes that can break all the wish rules. Does not matter. Hello, Purunga. Welcome back.
We do love Purunga, though.
I love Purunga. He's Shen Beefy.
Yeah.
He's the dragon of love.
Baby.
Baby. We come back in on a scene of tranquility of, like, the Z characters just hanging out, probably at Vegeta's house, I would imagine, or Bulma's house, rather. Bulma's preening over how, wow, you know, I was chosen to be queen by Lord Baby, huh, you know?
Pretty, even if he was evil, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
He's just directly trying to antagonize Chi-Chi at this point.
Completely.
she's worth it.
A limousine pops up, and it's CEO Trunks with Giru.
And a driver.
Giru is back.
Giru!
And, like, I love how immediately, like, without a doubt, like, Pan and Giru just, like, ran up and hugged each other.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They love each other.
Maybe more loyalty than Pan deserves from him.
I enjoy their arc together.
Yeah, it's just funny.
They're the buddy comedy I enjoyed watching throughout the annoying space shenanigans from the first bit.
Pan, not so good on AI rights, that's all I'm saying.
Fair.
She'll get there. Could be better.
Probably. Yeah.
Gohan misses Piccolo, and...
me too, Gohan.
Yeah. And the episode ends with the rest of the Z Fighters showing up with various party favors. Ox King's here, Yamcha's here, you know, all them. When we need a party. And the episode ends fully. The baby saga ends with the narrator saying that things are finally back to normal. Or are they?
Dun dun dun!
And the last shot is the Gohan ball in the grass on the foreground. So give me your closing thoughts. Baby arc is over. Put to bed.
I might have missed it, but did Goku respond when Gohan said that he missed Piccolo?
Not a word.
Because Gohan said, like, I miss him, Dad, and Goku just kind of awkwardly smiles, so yep. Gohan has to awkwardly smile back.
Yeah.
Goku's not good with feelings and the talking about them.
No.
Nope.
True.
Yeah, that exchange made me think, like, oh wait, did they wish Piccolo back? Like, is he about to come through with everybody else?
Who fucking knows?
We're just done talking about it. Okay,
I guess that's over.
I hear Krillin. Let's talk to him instead.
You have to wonder where that came from, like because it happened so abruptly, like. I'm not even being mad about it now. I'm just trying to figure out, like,
it's
where
it's an arc in an episode.
Where the fuck did it come from?
Because otherwise there would be no consequences to this whole entire 40 episode.
Have they had a problem arcs. With that before?
No. I don't know. That's the only thing I can think of.
Now that's out of character.
Somebody had to bite it so that it would matter.
God. But again, like, even that, like, that's GT in a nutshell. Just complete buck wild. It's completely of a piece. Like, so, like, it's ridiculous, but...
I do have some closing thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. I'm gonna pull out their CinemaSins ding-ding-dings.
oh, boy.
But, okay, so wasn't the whole point of Dende making new Dragon Balls is that Kami and Piccolo fused and then the Dragon Balls became inert and that's the whole point? So why would the Black Star Dragon Balls, like... I guess, why would the Black Star Dragon Balls even be functional, right?
I love that...
Because they were made by the original Namekian.
Right. But what does that have to do with Piccolo at this point?
Because Piccolo is Piccolo and Kami fused.
Still represents that. Yeah, that entity.
Yeah, Dende doesn't.
But wouldn't that have... I still think they would have turned to stone when he fused with Piccolo, right? Because, like, that's...
No, they just continue to exist.
Okay.
Because that entity is still alive. It's just been reforged into one body.
Reforged and then deforged. Okay.
And also added a nail to it.
Right, okay, okay. Because it's like, because Kami made the Dragon Balls, Nameless Namekian made the Black Star Dragon Balls, and then split up, refused to those original set were still around, because mm-hmm. it's technically the same person. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is anyone else mad that when...
Yes.
When old what? Kai and... When the Supreme Kai and Kibito fuse, they get to call them Kibito Kai, whereas, like, Nail is never acknowledged, like, Piccolo doesn't change his name.
Nope.
It's because Piccolo's a beloved character.
I guess to be fair, that's the only. I guess to be fair, that's the only acknowledgement of it because Supreme Kai just acts like Supreme Kai, and looks exactly like him, just a little bit goofier. So mm-hmm. maybe I'm splitting hairs.
Nice, you're coming from though.
I have preemptive thoughts.
Please
to go off of Dave's whiplash feelings from these episodes.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to say that the next quote-unquote arc that we're going to experience is 7 episodes long. So,
Lord.
Get the fuck ready.
I'm
so excited, I can't lie to you.
I think the Garlic Jr. saga was longer.
I'm almost sure it was.
Yeah. So, all that being said... are you guys ready for a 4-star reading?
Oh, God.
Hell yeah.
Yes.
What could this possibly mean at this point?
Put the baby to rest.
Mm-hmm. Yep. At the end of each episode, what we like to do is take various Dragon Ball characters and divine for them a birthday based on their manga debut date, and we like to read their little horoscopes for them.
Now, I know it's part of the tradition at this point, but is there any other part of the show that we summarize every single time in the same way?
Probably not, but I am addicted to ritual, so.
No, I'm not objecting, I'm just...
It feels wrong if I don't go through the whole thing.
It's a good transition, it helps us wind down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, how did we not mention Yajirobe's mustache?
Oh yeah,
You're right.
Have to forget about that.
Stop the presses.
That was
so much was happening.
That was so close. That was dire. We almost missed that.
You're right. Yeah, Jirobe did have a mustache.
Yeah, it was about as bad as Vegeta's. It's very good.
But
maybe it was a fad on Dragon World in that time.
Maybe.
Anyway, sorry. Continue.
Yeah, take it from the top, Jason. We got to refresh.
We're not listen. We're not reading Yajirobe's fortune today. We are reading our good friend Piccolo's. Because we haven't done that yet in this show. In this version.
I mean, when would we have had the opportunity?
Exactly.
We haven't seen him.
Piccolo with a canonical birthday of May 9th, Piccolo Day. That would make him a Taurus. Piccolo,
okay. Yep.
This is your reading. Take time today to treat yourself. Use some of that rainy day fund and buy yourself something nice. Treat yourself to a special dinner. Relax a little bit longer in bed. Get exploded by lava. Whatever special thing you do doesn't have to be extravagant. It just needs to be completely unnecessary.
Treat yourself to a... Oh, that last line.
right?
Completely unnecessary.
Oh, no.
Even the stars are getting savage on GT.
Oh, goodness. The stars have opinions.
This show can't catch a break.
But also, like, you know, I would feel the need to ask about the get thrown in lava part, because I cannot be 100% certain that that wasn't really in the horoscope.
But it doesn't say that.
Holy shit.
Oh, R.I.P.
R.I.P. Piccolo.
Pour one out. R.I.P. Piccolo. Rest in Piccolo.
It's Nail's epitaph.
Oh my god, the hits keep coming on this episode.
Jesus.
Holy shit, Tyler.
Thanks everyone for tuning in to our little show every week. I appreciate everyone who tunes in. If you'd like to get a hold of us or send us some of your poetry to possibly read live on the air, you can email us at destructodiscourse@gmail.com, and you can always tweet at us at destructo_disc, D-I-S-C. And of course, if you go to the top pinned tweet at our Twitter, you'll get a link to our little fan Discord page, the Destructo Discourse, Discourse Discord, where you can hang out with us and other fans of the show, swap various memes and screen caps and in-jokes, and talk about video games. The possibilities are endless.
Truly.
But mostly memes and video games.
And there's a lot of good Dragon Ball memes and video games, so.
It's specifically memes of video games. Dave, whereabouts can we find you on the internet?
As ever, I am Scythe, P-S-Y-T-H-E, on Archive of Our Own. I write fanfiction. Sometimes.
And Melissa?
I'm Kristaia, K-R-I-S-T-A-I-A, on various social medias, Twitter, Instagram, Twitch, etc.
And Theo?
I don't do much on the internet, but sometimes, if you follow Jason's Twitch, I'm join in on there.
Yeah. And if you want to follow my Twitch nonsense, I'm JCavs, J-A-Y-C-A-L-V-E-S, on Twitch. I usually stream Wednesday evenings, but you can sometimes find me when and wherever. But you can also use that same name to find any and all of my socials, Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff. Zanga, maybe? I don't know. Tyler, how about you?
You can listen to my other podcast, which is called What the Folklore, yeah. Where every week myself and two friends will read folk and fairy tales from somewhere around the world and tell jokes as we do so, and discuss their merits or lack thereof. And I will just say so, we're going to do a One Piece podcast soon.
Ooh.
We're going to start recording it soon. I don't know when I'll start posting it yet, but I will let you know when that happens. And you're going to hear familiar voices, and you're going to hear some new voices. So get ready for that.
Get into it.
I'm so frightened.
I am on the cruise.
It's going to take forever, but we're going to do it.
Oh, boy.
And hopefully by the time we get there, it'll be done.
Hopefully. You know that's wishful thinking.
That's the dream.
You're making a deal with the devil right now.
That's a Black Star Dragon Ball wish.
Oh, no.
If you are listening to this on Apple Podcasts or just wherever you happen to be catching this, maybe a bird dropped it into your lap like a USB drive. Please, if you could, give us a rating and review. But specifically and explicitly, a 4-star rating, if you could, because that's the Gohan ball, and he's back, and we love him.
I mean, it's apparently going to be relevant soon, the Gohan ball, so.
Looming in the foreground, please give us the Gohan.
Also, report that bird to your local Audubon Society, because that's weird.
Yeah.
Oh.
This has been Destructo Discourse, and we're having a good time.
Goodbye, baby.
Goodbye, baby.
Don't you see that even when